But in the interest of time and the public's time, we're going to go ahead and continue with the agenda as we can, which is the only item. We're joined by Councilmember Shepherd, and that's the public comment. And this public comment, if you have any, is pertaining to any of the items that you see on the agenda. So it's very narrowly and specifically related to any item that we may take up and vote on. And you will have 2 minutes each. I do not have a sign-up sheet, but if you signed up, you can make your way to the podium.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Ben Howard and committee member and members and staff. Ben Howard, senior advocate, and good greetings to the folks here in committee room and those watching online on Channel 26. Ben Howard, senior advocate, public policy analyst. Madam Chair, so none of these people who have been appointed really need to be here. But I do want to address something to Ms. Tracy McDaniel, who appeared at Public Safety and is on your agenda today, item G4. I do want to say to you, Ms. Cox, if you're listening, thank you for your work in the communications arena by way of Patch.com, and special thanks to you for co-founding CascadePatch.com. Since you've been appointed to the Atlanta Youth Commission, I'm asking you to please help the Atlanta Youth Commission instill in the youth of today an appreciation for the persuasiveness of the printed word as opposed to the potent power of gunpowder. So on that, that'll be all that I would have on that. And Madam Chair, just one thing I need to know, the Integrity Committee, to whom do they report?
Who?
The Integrity Committee.
Integrity Committee doesn't necessarily report to anybody. Mm-hmm. The Integrity Committee is a sort of an ad hoc committee that's made up of the compliance officer in the law department, the ethics officer, and the auditor. And they respond in relations to matters that come before the integrity line. And
they yeah, I'm trying to figure out how some of their issues might be made public. Some of the ones that I present, I think they do a very good job.
If they're investigating something, I'm not sure to what level that they would make it public until after they came up with the finding.
True. Well, I've been contributing to their labors over the past few years. So,
if you have a specific case, I'm sure you can call them directly.
Well, I do have several specific cases, but I'm hoping by now at least one of them has been concluded and some report should be made to someone. So that's where I'm trying to go here. And even over and above mine, there are probably others, hopefully there are others that have been presented to them that have been concluded. And so I don't want them to just be stuck somewhere in the shelf gathering dust, but like...
Well, I'm sure if there's something that falls under, and we're joined by Councilmember Mary Norwood, okay, falls under ethics, and that's Ethics Board.
I think
if it's something
separate
with the audit, I'm sure she reports her activities to the audit committee,
law
department, to the law department. So it's not like nobody knows about it.
I think it is. Because the integrity committee, as you said, the ethics, a representative from the ethics board is one of the people who serves on the integrity committee. So I see the integrity committee as another level, I would say, a different level than the ethics. So, and I don't think that the ethics officer would want to accept the responsibility for reporting for the integrity committee. I'm just saying, I don't think that any. We're talking, but if that's in writing somewhere,
what I'm saying to you, and you could make your statement. What you have is that you don't think that there's enough reporting, but if whatever comes across the integrity line may fit in one bucket, two buckets, or three buckets.
Yeah.
Or no buckets. And whatever bucket is taking care of it or responding, so if something comes through and it's totally just an ethics board issue, then the ethics officer will deal with it, and she will report to her superiors, which are the ethics board. If it's something that's related that has to have an audit conducted to determine if there's some problem, then the auditor will report to her audit commission about the need to do this activity.
Oh, okay.
And it will be done. And her things usually end up in a report that come to council.
Okay.
The ethics board posts their findings and determinations. And the law department does so as well when they finish their report. So it's not like they don't get reported out if there's something to report out. If they find that there's no merit, or they don't have any reason, or no purview, or whatever, those kinds of things, those people who dealt with it know about it.
Okay.
And again, it's an ad hoc committee. It's not a code-required committee.
Oh,
okay?
I appreciate that, too.
All right.
No, wait.
All right. Well, your 2 minutes is over, but I'll let you go on.
Yeah, because I'm going to include my public comment in this segment, too, so if you don't mind.
No, I do.
You do? I'll wait. Then that's
okay.
You have a
Thank
quorum?
You.
Is that why you're objecting?
I thought, no, we don't have a quorum yet.
No,
we
don't have
but
a
quorum. Go ahead then.
All right, thank you very much.
You got it. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Some things happened at a particular neighborhood planning unit, and I was told that the law department had opined that two people who were excused from the neighborhood planning unit for a number of years could not be excused because of a segment of law. But I was told by the chair that the law department said that these two people could be brought back on a two strikes you're out condition, but they only have the right.
I'm not understanding what you're asking about.
Okay, what I'm asking about is this.
Committee on Council related?
Yeah, no, it goes deeper than that, Madam Chair. I'll try to make this story brief.
If it's an MPU issue, you know what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I get it. Something that happened to me, I felt violated my rights under federal law, and I thought under city law. But I went to the city charter to see who was covered under the Bill of Rights, I saw the traditional people listed and designated by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, but I did not see anything related to me and other folks about my aging. And I said, no way, I got to take another look, because in this delineation of people who are covered and who should not be discriminated in this great city, surely something was put in the city charter relative to older folks, and I didn't see it there. So I'm asking this committee to look and see if I missed something in the charter, to see. And someone gave me a reason, either Latipo, as a matter of fact, gave me a reason why it probably is not there, because back in the day when that was one of the basic things, we created a Bill of Rights for the citizens of Atlanta, and they probably weren't thinking that much about the rights of older folks, and maybe that's why it's not there. But I'm just asking somebody to double check, because I do every now and then have these what they call senior moments, but double check to see whether or not aging is one of the topics covered in the city charter under the Bill of Rights. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm not familiar with the Bill of Rights in the charter.
I know, because we don't talk about it much, and I don't talk
about
it.
Well, I've read the charter, and I've never read anything about a Bill of Rights.
Okay. Well, somebody,
maybe that's your term you're using, but I don't think it's...
No, because all we got...
I don't think that language is in the charter that I remember, read it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And all someone has to do is just put those three words in there, go to the charter,
Let me say this.
Yes,
in terms
ma'am.
Of protections, we do have... We mirror the federal guidelines for protection.
That's what I was hoping.
No, it's in there.
Okay.
In terms of age, am I correct?
All right, I just... Somebody give me a printout, and then I'll be quiet on that matter. Thank you.
I don't know what we're looking. Okay, so we do.
What we're looking for is aging. The word aging discrimination.
No, those words aren't specifically the same words you're using. I don't think are in there.
No.
But you can get with Ms. Denny. Raise your hand, Ms. Denny. It's afterwards, and she can assist you.
I don't want to put that burden on her. All right, maybe you want to. All right, well that's in the committee assignment. Fine.
No, it's not a committee assignment.
Well,
saying you can get with Ms. Denny.
I'm not going to accept that as a personal
assignment. I'm not going to accept it as an assignment.
Okay, well, I'm going to go try to find. I want this formalized, and I don't want this as a sidebar between her and me. So I will try to find a different way to get this further explored. Thank you.
Anyone else that has not signed up that wants to speak? We're still waiting on a quorum. I'd like to give everybody at least 15 minutes. So at 11:30, if we do not have a quorum, we will just have to do this in a committee of the whole. So we will wait until we either have a public speaker or we have another council member. But while we're waiting, colleagues, I will just bring to the ones that are here. Did you want to speak, sir?
Momentarily.
Okay, is it related to committee on council? Okay, then we are either items on the agenda or items related to the committee. This is a committee on, come on up to the mic. It's a committee on council, right there. But go ahead, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to speak generally because we don't have a quorum anyway, but this is committee on council. We deal with the operations of council, appointments to committees, et cetera. So we try to keep the comments limited to that. But because we're not here and in order, you have you can go ahead and give us your comments.
Well, how y'all doing? Peace and blessings.
And your name is?
Araki Basir.
Okay, we'll get you to sign in later. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. This is the utility meeting, right?
No, this is a city council committee on council meeting. It's a committee meeting before the council meeting. The council meeting starts at 1.
Okay. Well, momentarily, how's everybody doing?
We're fine, thank you.
Okay, we want to...
Mr. Howard, thank you.
As
go
a
ahead,
citizen
sir.
Of America, we all are, we want to bring better judgment towards the citizens of Atlanta, and we want to do it in a moral way to uphold freedom, justice, and better equality. So I thank y'all board members, and we're going to continue doing a good job.
Thank you.
So if you're looking for the committee on City Utility Committee.
Yes, ma'am.
They meet the second and fourth week of every month on Tuesday at 9:30. So if this is relevant to streets, now City Utilities is in reference to streets.
Yes, ma'am.
Water,
yes, ma'am.
Water issues, things like that. So the next meeting will be next Tuesday at 9:30 right here in the same room.
Is it 9:30?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, ma'am.
And then you can sign up to speak at that meeting also in terms of anything reference to utility issues in terms of water and all things like that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. All right.
Let me explain how that happened. There's been a radio announcement that people should come down here this Tuesday and talk. There's another person that's sitting out here.
Yeah, it's for the council meeting at 1.
Yeah, but so it'll be a week from today. But there was a radio announcement. I don't want to mention the broadcast.
What was the issue?
What was it in reference to?
If people wanted to talk about their water bills and other issues related to water, that they should come to the City Utilities Committee meeting.
Yeah, and I think I heard that radio broadcast too, but they were telling Mr. Bozeman is protesting the bill that was let go or forgiven or talked about being forgiven in Buckhead. He's coming here today at 1 o'clock to speak at the council meeting, and his comment was anyone else who had issues with water bills, watershed, that they should come today too. So it is at 1 o'clock is when he's talking about. He's not talking about the committee meeting next
week.
Well, and to that point, then, if that's what he's heard and what he's coming about today from the radio station, then you need to come to the council meeting today at 1 o'clock. So
that's what I just said.
Yeah, I don't think he was listening. Oh. Okay, so the council meeting at 1 o'clock today. No, it's going to be across the hall. So you can sign up between now and the next hour, but the meeting doesn't start until 1 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
And so between now and across the hall, I'm not sure if anybody out there in front of the council chambers now to sign up, but there's a desk. So about 12:30, there'll be somebody at that desk out there. You go up and sign up over there. Make sure you do it before 1 o'clock, because if you don't, you will not be able to speak. But between 12:30 and 1, you can sign up to speak. And then when the council meeting starts at 1 o'clock, then you can speak in reference to that. All right.
All right. Well, we don't have a quorum, but a couple things. One, we are working on scheduling the transparency work session. And we're also have received a draft from Ms. Dennis on the recommendations we had about the council committee document. So we now have a quorum, so I'll officially call the meeting to order and recognize Council Member Michael Julian Bond. I'll entertain a motion on the adoption of the agenda. Adoption of the agenda. Without objection, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed, hearing none, the agenda is approved. Now the approval of the minutes. Without objection from the committee, we'll consider the minutes approved. Adoption of the full council agenda, I'll entertain a motion. Motion to approve the adoption of the agenda. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, hearing none, the agenda for the council meeting has been approved. We're now under communications. The first is 16C 5117. This is a communication from Councilmember C.T. Martin appointing Miss Alicia Ivey to the Reverend Dr. Barbara King Commission. It received favorable recommendation from CDHR. I entertain a motion.
Councilmember Moore, you can take both items 1 and 2 together.
Item number 2, 16C5118, is the communication from C.T. Martin appointing Mr. Willie A. Watkins to the Reverend Dr. Barbara King Commission. Entertain a motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, hearing none, it's approved. The next item is 16. I forgot we were on. I was moving right along. Well, wait a minute.
Okay, we got it back. Yeah, we got
it back up. Back up. It should be two of them. Since she said put two of them together, we're both of them up here. Okay, but I went back because I was told to. So let's do them separately. 1518. Can I get somebody to make a motion to approve? You have to hit mover. And a seconder. Okay, let's vote. All right. Vote is closed. 4 yay, 0 nays. The next is 1517. What happened to that one? Yeah, we got to do a second. Well, they got to open the vote. Hit mover. Okay, now the vote's open. Any discussion? If not, let's vote. All right, 4 yays, 0 nays. All right, now we're at 16C1519. This is a communication from Mayor Kasim Reed appointing Ms. Tracy McDaniel to serve as a member of the Atlanta Citizens Review Board. This appointment is for a term of 3 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. I'll just share with the committee what was discussed in the chair's briefing. I'm going to make a motion to hold. So that'll be me moving to hold. I hit the mover. Okay, and the reason why is there's a couple of things. One, we want to make sure that this great appointment is done in decency and in order. And the background check needs to be given to the, according to the ACRB code, given to the executive director, and the executive director gives it to the public safety. So it should have been held in public safety till the background check got done, and I don't think that we at this moment have it, that information. The second issue is the appointee is not a resident of the city, and our charter, as well as the enabling legislation for the Citizens Review Board, require a city resident. So the suggestion that I made in committee, and Theo is going to draft it just in case the administration doesn't, is that we amend the Citizen Review Board legislation to make the mayor's appointment be able to be a Metro Atlanta appointment, and that that person is not necessarily required to be a resident of the city. And then that way we will keep it in line with what the code says. And so we introduce that and issue catch up with the background check, as well as that legislation will be able to pass it at the next cycle along with the appointment. So that's the rationale for the hold. Any questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, click your button. We can open the vote. I thought you seconded, Mary.
I thought you seconded.
You did.
Okay, so
it's 4 yes, 0 no's. So it is held. All right, and like I said, Theo will introduce that, draft that legislation for introduction. All right, the next one is 16C51. 20 is a communication from Mayor Kasim Reed appointing Ms. Jamie Cox to serve as a member of the Atlanta Youth Commission. The appointment is for a term of 2 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. This was favorable by CDHR. I'll entertain a motion from the committee. Okay, there's a motion to approve. If somebody hits their mover button. There it is. Somebody hit mover. Show them where the second is. It's on mine. There it is right there. Okay, we got a second, and I'll vote, and then that'll take care of it. And so it's 4 yeas, 0 nays. Okay, now we have a substitute, and I think that's it under the papers that we have to deal with today. We did have a hail paper, and Madam Clerk, I'm going to let you come up. She has a substitute. I want to let her talk about it before I decide which caption I'm going to read, because I'm only reading one once. So give us the report.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Dauphin Johnson, Municipal Clerk, and 16-0-1357 does have a substitute that I am asking the committee to accept this morning. And that substitute adds 9 more changes to the precinct and polling place changes to the legislation. Many of these were due to our annexation in Southwest Atlanta, and there are a couple of other changes. The total number of precinct polling place changes in this legislation is 18. The question is, would the committee like to accept this substitute and hold it? And we still wait to see if there are any further changes prior to the November election or move forward on this one.
Well, I only like the fact of accepting substitute because at least we'll get it out, some of the changes. Ms. Norwood, I saw you wanting to speak.
Yes. You know, I have been a proponent of on camera explaining right now where these changes are. My question to you is, what has the Board of Elections told you about how they're notifying people of these changes, because they are extensive?
These changes are required to be notified by first-class mail. I think there was an issue during the March election where there were some notifications that had not been sent out, and so the board was then notifying in addition to that required notification, or actually the notifications had gone out, but there was postal problems, and the card was a little bit misleading. Mm-hmm. So I'm not certain if they're continuing with that dual notification, because they sent out a letter explaining the change a little bit more clearly than the card does.
Okay, so my question is, we're getting this legislation now, delineating the changes in the polling places. Do we send these out to those residents who are voting in these precincts, or does the Fulton County Elections Division send them out, and if so, when? Because we know that March we had some issues, so I'd like to be really clear on what we're going to do and what Fulton County's going to do and what that timeline is, because I would imagine, having served on the board, this is probably most of the changes. There would not be another 15 or 20 coming in. There may be one or two that didn't make this legislation. But it seems to me we are now in September, and it would be really good for the citizens who vote in these precincts to be very clear that they need to go someplace else.
The Fulton County Department of Registration and Elections notifies the voters. It is their responsibility pursuant to state law mm-hmm. to notify the voters. One of the things in conversation with the board, one of the things that the board asks is that the city council perhaps uses newsletters and those or your emails to your constituents to reinforce that notice of each of these changes. Many of these have already occurred. A few of them actually occurred prior to the last election. So some of these citizens have been notified of already. As you know, here in the city, we ratify the changes that they make. Right. So all of these have occurred at the county level, but some actually occurred prior to the last election. So those voters were notified. Those that have occurred since the last election, the practice, and I believe it is also pursuant to a state law, that notification has to go out at least 30 days prior to the election. And so what happens is they usually hold that notification. Let's say if something occurred in July, they hold the notification until that period, just shy of 30 days before the election, because it's been recognized that sometimes if you're notified too early, then people forget or they overlook it, they don't see it.
Okay, so can we...
I can read all of them if you'd like that.
I would like for them to be read either now or at full council, Madam Chair. Each of these location changes for people that are watching Channel 26.
Let me ask one question before we do that, because do you know specifically which ones are the new ones?
I know the ones that are brought in as a part of this substitute.
Okay. So I'll read the caption, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to leave it to you to first, if you could start with what's new.
Okay.
And then read the other locations that Ms. Norwood wants to do. I think we can do it as many times as possible.
Okay, thank you.
So the caption is, I guess I need to have a motion to bring the substitute before us. Got us, so move it there. and Ms. Shepherd's waiting to speak.
Do you want to speak now or after we vote on bring it?
Okay. All right. So do we have a second? I'll do the second. All right. So now, Ms. Shepherd, let me read the caption. 16-0-1357, an ordinance by Committee on Council is substituted to amend the City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances Section 66-2, Precinct Boundary Lines and Polling Places, by amending the 2013 Precinct and Polling Places Ordinance in precincts 1G, 2F1, 2F2, 2G, 3I, 2H, wait a minute, did I skip? No. 3I, 4F, 4X1, 4X2, D, 6D, 6E, 6H, 6S, 8P, 9G, 9H, 10B, 10C, 10I, 10L, 11C, 11G, 12H, 12I, 12S, and annex precincts into the city of Atlanta, SC14, SC16, SC30B. By moving said precincts due to summer construction, polling facility name changes, parking concerns, accessibility issues, conflict of school activities, polling operation conflicts, closing of polling facilities, inadequate heating and air, division of state house districts, and annex precincts into the city of Atlanta and for other purposes. So the motion and the second is to bring the substitute before us. Can we vote on that motion? We don't have to do that? Okay. So that we'll hold on that. And the motion then is not going to be what I said. The motion would be to hold. Will my seconder agree with that? Mayor. Okay, so we got that. It's the motion to hold. So now I'm going to turn it over to you to get Ms. Norwood's request.
Okay. This legislation covers 18 changes to precincts and polling places in the city. And as Ms. Moore read the caption, you will note that there are changes in every district with the exception of Council District 5 and 7. Every other district has some change to a polling place. The most recent changes, the ones that are a part of this substitute, begins with to amend precinct polling places 04X1 and 04X2 located at E.L. Connolly School, 1654 South Alvarado Terrace Southwest, by changing the name of that precinct or that polling place rather to Tuskegee Airmen Academy. All affected voters will be notified of the change by first class mail. So this change is voters would go to the same location, however the name of the school has changed. The next change is to amend precinct polling place 6H, located at fire station number 19 at 1063 North Highland Avenue Northeast, by permanently moving said precinct to Morningside Baptist Church Gym, 1700 Piedmont Road Northeast, merging precinct 6H with precincts 6D and 6E, and eliminating merging the voters from precinct 6H into precinct 6D or 6E and eliminating precinct 6H. This is due to inadequate heating during the winter months and no air conditioning during summer months. Also, the facility has insufficient parking, and this is all attached to the legislation with a map showing the changes of the locations. All affected voters will be notified of this change by first class mail. The next change is to amend precinct polling place SC30B, which is South County 30B, located at Southwest Regional Library, 3665 Cascade Road Southwest, by comprising said precinct into the city of Atlanta within existing precinct 10B, located at West Manor Park, 3240 West Manor Circle Southwest. Due to a portion of unincorporated Fulton County precinct SC30B having been annexed into the city of Atlanta. And again, the backup information to this is attached with the map. All affected voters will be notified of this change by first class mail. The next is to amend precinct polling place SC-30B, located at Southwest Regional Library, 3665 Cascade Road, by comprising said precinct, or a part of said precinct, into the City of Atlanta within existing precinct 10C, to be located at Adamsville Collier Heights Library at 3424 Martin Luther King Jr. Southwest. Again, all voters will be notified by first-class mail. The next is to amend precinct polling place SC-30B, located at Southwest Regional Library, 3665 Cascade Road, Southwest, by comprising a portion of said precinct into the City of Atlanta within existing precinct 11C, located at Fickett Elementary School at 3935 Rux Road, Southwest. The next is to amend precinct polling place SC-14, located at Aviation Cultural Center at 3900 Aviation Circle, Northwest, and SC-16, located at Sandtown Park Recreation Center, 5320 Campbellton Road, Southwest, and moving those voters who were annexed into the city from these precincts into the City of Atlanta within the existing precinct 11C, located at Fickett Elementary School, 3935 Rux Road, Southwest. The next is to amend precinct polling place SC-16, located at Sandtown Park Recreation Center, 5320 Campbellton Road, Southwest, by comprising said precinct into the City of Atlanta within existing precinct 11C, at Fickett Elementary School, 3935 Rux Road, Southwest. The next change, to amend precinct polling place 12H, located at Cleveland Avenue School at 2672 Old Hapeville Road, Southwest, by dividing said precinct as a split precinct 12H1 and precinct 12H2. As precinct 12H is divided by two or more political districts requiring the creation of two separate precincts, due to the variation in state house district values, and the information is attached here too and identified as Exhibit Q. All affected voters will be notified of this change by first class mail. And the final, most recent change is to amend precinct polling place 12S, located at Carver Family YMCA, 1600 Prior Road, Southwest, by permanently moving said precinct to Southeast Branch Library at 1463 Prior Road, Southwest, due to multiple conflicts with scheduled YMCA activities and election events. Attached here too is the background information. All affected voters will be notified of this change by first class mail. Those nine changes were the ones that encompass this substitute. Madam Chair, do you want me to read the ones that were a part of the legislation prior to the substitute?
Those people will have already voted at those locations by now,
I can't say for sure. Well, I would have to look into it.
Do you want her to continue? I know. We had asked that she do this, and then I had you and Michael.
I think it probably, for the ones that have been read before, if we could just read them at full council. I think there are more people that are watching a full council meeting than are watching a committee meeting, so that would be my recommendation.
Okay. So I have Ms. Shepherd, then Mr. Bond, even though it got switched.
Okay, so, we're going to hold. Are we recommending to hold this paper?
Yes.
Okay, so, and we're holding it until when, again? How long are we going to hold it?
I would suggest that we hold it until the meeting, the November meeting.
Okay. Well, I that's good, because I think if these are the recommendations, I think one of the things that we're bad at is not, even though upon the purview of us, you know, even though this is Fulton County just voting, but we need to be notifying neighborhood folks. Even though we're saying it's a meeting and people can see, my suggestion is that we need to be putting this on every MP agenda from now all the way up until election, mm-hmm. as a reminder to people Because what I'm finding is, even though we're saying Fulton County is going to mail it out, I have been in so many different situations where people are saying, well, we didn't know. And so if we're going to hold it, let's begin to actually, we should have it on every NPU agenda going forward until it's time for election. So we need to ask the planning department to make, for the particular NPUs who are impacted by this, that we make sure that we break this down and put it on every NPU agenda, because that's a way to not only notify the NPU, but the neighborhood associations associated with that NPU. And I think we need to be doing that going forth on all of these. And I don't know how we can do that, but I don't know if we need to codify to make that happen. We can say we're going to make it happen and don't happen. But some kind of way, when we start making these changes like this, we need to do that every time to let people know, so the NPUs are aware, so that when people come back later and said, well, you know, we didn't get it, we can say, well, it was on the agenda for the last two or three NPUs or neighborhood associations, and letting people know. I know that they're mailing them out, but just a re-verification.
And you may want to get with Mr. Dickens or somebody in the planning department to see if they have the capability of putting these on the agenda, or if they want to do handouts or whatever. I don't know that we can kind of make sure that happens without somebody from planning here, but you're on that committee, so maybe you can pass that suggestion on to the planning department. And you can give them the information, but they've got to
facilitate it. I can provide the ordinance as well as break these out and let them know which NPUs.
And then they can decide. I mean, but somebody needs to follow up, and I think it should be community development, make sure that somebody from planning agrees to print them, because I know they've gone to those postcard sizes.
Well, they'll have
to determine on how they're going to.
Well, maybe I can get some legislation introduced today to make that happen.
It doesn't have to be legislation.
Well, I mean, I hear you
One thing, though, that I would remind you is that in some instances, there's not time to be on the NPU agenda. So if you bring legislation forward, you know, as you prepare it, put that in place as well. Let's say we are holding this. These changes have all occurred by the county. But if something comes up at the last minute, and it frequently does, as Ms. Norwood says, it wouldn't necessarily be these numbers, but almost always before an election, we get these emergency changes that are actually made outside of the state requirement, but you can't do anything but make the changes if it's an emergency. So in some instances, it just won't have time to make the NPU agenda and all of that. So, you know, certainly whenever we have them, I can put it in as a policy to send the information out to planning and as well.
Well, and I hear you, and with all due respect, I'm not trying to say nobody would do that. But sometimes, unless we can actually make sure it is codified somewhere, and we're making this as a suggestion now, and then somewhere along the road it gets dropped, and somebody said, well, what was that said that was going to be done like that? And you was like, well, it was discussed at a meeting, and you're saying that you're going to make a commitment to it. And then later on, you know, it just kind of gets drops and it's just hanging out there and nobody's doing it. And I understand your scenario, what you're saying specifically around the fact that something may happen specifically in terms of emergency that could be very short notice, and that may not happen. But even with them, we got to figure out with that scenario, what are we going to do to notify people immediately? And that would be a situation where we can talk about in case of emergency, there may not be enough notification. But I just think that it is something that we should be doing continuously anyway. And I don't see where it should be that complicated for our departments to break this down for every NPU. I just don't see where that's a serious complication. You just said that you can do that very simply yourself in terms of doing that. And I think it's just another form of us. If it's going to come to us in terms of the changes and you're working with Fulton County voting folks to make that happen, why wouldn't we go to the full extent of making sure, other than just us legally knowing that, and we don't have a process? So I'm going to be looking at maybe doing some legislation, something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Shepherd, I certainly was not challenging that idea. I was just pointing out to you
that
within the legislation, you know, to take that into effect when it's short term. It may even be something that could be added to when we change these, some language in here. I'm not certain how you want to do
that. All right, thank you.
Ms. Bond?
Thank you. Yes, Madam Clerk, as I was been listening to everyone, I was thinking, is there the possibility that perhaps we can speak to those in Public Works who manage the emergency management notification that send the robocalls out, to send a robocall to these particular areas where the changes have taken place? And then, two, perhaps even just developing an app for voting in the city of Atlanta, or a clerk's app where people can then go to find out where their exact precincts are.
We do have, it's not an app, but we do have the capability to find out where the precinct, where an individual's precinct is. And that is through Fulton County and DeKalb County, through their GIS system,
right,
and their elections offices. There is a method to do that. By the individual. I'm not certain, again, it would have to be at the precinct level, that within Public Works, if we were even doing a robocall, I don't know how you work with the telephones and really reach the people. I don't know if that bridge has been really crossed, because even with robocalls with elections, quite often they go out to individuals who cannot vote for that particular person, and often that's a lot of the confusion that happens at the precincts. They'll come out. I know in our elections, like the presidential election, you'll have a lot of people coming to vote at the City of Atlanta precincts, and they'll say, well, you know, I should be able to vote for, if there was an Atlanta election as well, I should be able to vote for that because they called me. So I don't really know that technology, and I'm not sure. I mean, that is something that could certainly be explored, but I don't know if there's a remedy for that.
Well, I mean, most robocalls, they go out to a particular area, they're derived from the voters list. So if you have a voters list for these, we'll say the City of Atlanta, if you get the appropriate information from Fulton County, which would be the source, the Cab County for the smaller areas, you would have the precinct information contained in that. So you can target where the particular call would go. But long-term, where I would be going and asking you to explore is to mimic what they do with emergency management notifications. I believe that what they do, they ask people to register, and then people can click on what they want to be notified about. But what that does is that it allows people to either register the telephone number or email, so that when we have these type of changes, that we can get the word out that way, so that people are actually
getting notified. You're referring to notify ATL.
And right, so yeah, then it goes to a
only
targeted,
the people that ask.
Yeah, but mm-hmm, in that's, but that, in that sense, yeah, they're asking specifically for that information. But since this is a more general and less emergency type of situation, well, I guess it's debatable whether or not it's an emergency.
It's a notification.
But it's a notification. Right, so it's not necessarily, but if you could mimic that process or mimic that ability to get the notifications out, I think that would help, because as has been remarked here today, I mean, we all have stories of people who show up at the precinct and say, I didn't know it had changed. You know, I thought I voted over here, and that seems to happen with every election. You know, mm-hmm, if we can minimize that, I think that would be great.
Well, I will certainly explore, reach out to emergency management and find out if there's a way to do that, and report back to the council.
All right, thank you.
No witness, Chair.
Yes, and what I wanted to say is, having been in the robocall business, my concern would be that you would get a notice that would say, a recorded message that would say, if you are voting at such and such an elementary school, please go to such and such a place. If that person, if you don't get that exactly right, you've now notified somebody to go to some place they really aren't supposed to go to. So my recommendation, Ms. Shepherd, for the legislation, and I'd love to sponsor it with you, co-sponsor it, would be that we notify, if there isn't enough time to have the it on the NPU's printed agenda, that we note that the chair or the officers of that NPU are sent an email, because they would be the ones that would know the neighborhood presidents. And so you would get that information to the officers of the appropriate NPU that then can just get it out to those neighborhoods. And then you've got a lot better chance of having more people know about it. So that's my
also
thought.
Maybe the planners can report it when they do their planning report.
Yes.
Or either that there's a handout or however you end up doing.
Or if we utilize a robocall, it could be a general one that informs people of the method to check to confirm their voting location.
Ms. Shepherd.
And the last thing is the possibility of water bills. That's another thought, is to actually, you know, because, you know, we talk about apps and all of this. I'm telling you, a large percentage of voters are seniors and other folks, and they are not looking at no apps and all this other stuff. Believe me, I can guarantee you, some of them, a handful of them, I'm not going to say all my seniors, but a lot of them are not doing that. So, you know, if we have water bills and things like that, that's another way. So I'll work on some legislation with Mr. Pace here in terms of how we want to look at doing that and just come up with some recommendations. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is to hold its vote. Favorable 4 yeas, 0 nays, and so we have all done that.
Mr.
Howard, you can't just come up to the mic and start talking. Mr. Howard.
Yes, ma'am.
You cannot do that. You need to sit down.
Ask for public comment. It was a substitute.
Mr. Howard.
I need to find out about
that fire station. Please, let me explain to you.
You cannot just
come up to the mic and start talking.
May I stand here and listen to him?
No,
the explanation?
No.
Right.
You need to go back to your seat. It is a substitute, and we are holding it 4 yeas, 0 nays. We had our public comment, and if you remember, you had your general comment, you had your before the meeting comment, and you had extra comment. And so we've had the public comment. Unless there's someone else who has not spoken that wants to be before us, is there any other items to come before the committee? If not, thank you all for your time. We are adjourned. Make sure we sign our papers.
Mayor has been visionary throughout. As we started to talk about this idea more than 2 years ago, it was never just the 67 acres.